Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Hey there, Herman and Korn. So I'm listening to your response to my question about adding a personal dictionary to a transcription app. And you actually mentioned something that I was planning to ask in another prompt. So here I go. You mentioned that a major challenge when engineering with AI, as we've discussed many times, is context. We've even seen some people go so far as to suggest that context engineering is the new prompt engineering. But certainly, whether you want to extend it that far or not, everybody agrees that context is really important. And I've certainly seen that I would regard as probably the most vital thing in getting reliable and performant results with AI tools is knowing when to prune context and tooling that actually rarely gets implemented very extensively or well. Like being able to limit the context trail, mechanisms like that that you tend to see more in kind of experimentary tools like Open Web UI can be amazingly effective. The quality of inference, even in models that say they have massive context windows, often goes out the window to use a pun after a little bit of context. Context muddying is the term that I've come to use. And I think that when you're looking at how a large language model APIs work, the fundamental, the default position is to use a stateless architecture. So it's like me and you were having a conversation where I say, "Hi, Korn, how are you?" And you say, "I'm fine, Daniel." And then on the next turn in the conversation, I say, "Hi, Korn, how are you? I'm fine, Daniel. What's on your mind today, Korn?" So as you continue with the conversation, you continue with turns, the accumulated context gets longer and longer, and that's not counting the system prompt. So it's almost like you can imagine that this could be made into like a game in which people have to say everything since the start of the conversation on their next turn. And of course, by the time, if you went on like this for 5 minutes, each turn would become very long. But most people are unaware, I think, that that's how large language models work, but when you understand that, it makes a lot of sense why context aggregation poses such a challenge. Now, what I'd love to ask you, Herman and Korn, is it seems like this is a very fundamental challenge to the design of large language models. And as much as we have come up with some good mechanisms for working around this, we are still very much challenged by this being the way that they're built. Like, there is prompt caching as well as a means of sort of offloading some of the, because otherwise the API cost bloat is something to consider. I've often found when using the API, as opposed to using a tool like ChatGPT or whatever, that you get penalized especially hard for having long conversations because you've just got so many tokens going back and forth. Whereas, you know, if you get to use a tool on a sort of pay for a service model where they're not going to be restricting you like that, you're sort of benefiting from stuff that otherwise would be very expensive. So my question is really that it seems like as much as context windows are being extended, and that's one sort of way to get past this that we've talked about before, the kind of scale our way past the challenges of AI engineering approach. It also seems to me that the fundamental mechanism of stateless architectures is really challenging to work with for AIs. So my question is really, why is that the case? Why does it have to be like this? And have there been any proposals? We've talked about the transformer architecture as being kind of the backbone of modern AI, but I'd be curious to know whether there's been any sort of more fundamental proposals talked about to change how AI models process information to make them more suitable from an engineering standpoint for this conversational use case that has come to dominate their day-to-day use in businesses and by people around the world.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn, and I am joined as always by my brother,
Herman Poppleberry, reporting for duty. It is December 27th, 2025, and we are closing out the year with a real brain tickler.
Yeah, we are. So, our housemate Daniel sent us a prompt today that actually makes me feel a little better about my own memory. You know, as a sloth, people expect me to be a bit slow on the uptake, but it turns out even the most advanced AI has a bit of a memory problem.
It really does. Daniel was asking about context and why these massive language models seem to struggle with it. Specifically, he's curious about stateless architecture. Why is it the default? And are there better ways to build these things so they don't have to reread the entire conversation every time we hit enter?
Right, because Daniel mentioned that every time he talks to an AI through an API, it's like the AI has a total reset. It doesn't remember the last thing he said unless he sends the whole history back to it. That sounds exhausting and expensive.
It is both of those things, Korn. It's actually one of the biggest hurdles in AI engineering right now. We're in late 2025, and while we've seen models with massive context, windows some handling millions of tokens, the underlying way they process that information is still surprisingly clunky.
Okay, so let's start with the basics for people like me. What does stateless actually mean in this context?
Think of it like a very polite, very smart waiter who has absolutely no short-term memory. You sit down and say, "I'd like a coffee." The waiter goes to the kitchen, brings you a coffee, and then immediately forgets you exist. When you want a refill, you can't just say, "Another one, please." You have to say, "Hi, I'm the person who sat down 2 minutes ago. I ordered a black coffee, it was delicious, and now I would like a second black coffee."
That sounds like a terrible way to run a restaurant. The waiter would be exhausted, and he'd be annoyed.
Exactly. But in the world of large language models, or LLMs, that's how the APIs work. Every request is a fresh start. The model itself doesn't hold your conversation in its brain between turns. To get it to understand a conversation, you have to bundle up every single previous message and send it back to the server every single time.
So if I've been chatting for an hour, the packet of info I'm sending gets bigger and bigger.
Precisely. This is called context aggregation. And since these companies charge you by the token, which is basically a word or a piece of a word, or 21st message costs way more than your first message because you're paying to send all 20 previous messages again.
That seems like a design flaw. Why would the smartest people in the world build it that way? Is there a reason it has to be stateless?
It's not so much a flaw as it is a trade-off for scale. Imagine you're a company like OpenAI or Anthropic. You have millions of people talking to your AI at the same time. If the AI had to remember every single conversation in its active memory meaning, if it was stateful, the server requirements would be astronomical.
Oh, I see. So by being stateless, the server can just handle a request, finish it, and immediately move on to the next person without having to keep a folder open for me?
Spot on. It makes the system much easier to scale and load balance. You can send my first message to a server in Iowa, and my second message to a server in Belgium. And it doesn't matter because I'm sending all the context anyway. If it were stateful, I'd have to stay connected to that one specific server that remembers me.
Okay, that makes sense from a business perspective, but it's a bummer for the user. Daniel mentioned context pruning and context muddling. What's happening there?
Well, as that packet of history gets longer, two things happen. First, it gets expensive. Second, the model starts to lose the thread. Even though we have models now that claim to have a context window of 2 million tokens, they still suffer from what researchers call the lost in the middle phenomenon. They remember the very beginning of the prompt and the very end, but they get a bit hazy on the details in the middle.
I get that. If I read a 1,000-page book in one sitting, I might remember how it started and how it ended, but page 542 might be a bit blurry.
Exactly. And pruning is the process of trying to cut out the fluff so you don't hit those limits or pay too much. But if you prune the wrong thing, the AI loses the context it needs to give a good answer. It's a delicate dance.
It sounds like we're trying to fix a leaky faucet by just putting a bigger bucket under it. Is there an actual architectural fix? Like, is the transformer model itself the problem?
That is the million-dollar question, Korn. Or maybe the trillion-dollar question given the current AI market. The transformer architecture, which is what powers almost every major LLM today, has a specific mathematical property called quadratic complexity.
Whoa, slow down. Quadratic complexity? Speak sloth to me, Herman.
Haha, sorry. Basically, it means that if you double the amount of text you want the AI to look at, the amount of computational work the AI has to do quadruples. If you triple the text, the work increases ninefold. It's not a one-to-one increase. It gets exponentially harder for the model to pay attention to everything as the text gets longer.
That sounds like a recipe for a crash. No wonder it's so expensive.
It really is, and that's why researchers are looking for something beyond the transformer. But before we get into the heavy-duty engineering stuff, I think we have a word from someone who definitely doesn't have a memory problem. Or maybe he does.
Oh boy. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you tired of your brain feeling like a browser with too many tabs open? Do you walk into rooms and forget why you're there? Introducing the Echo Memory 3000. It's not a hearing aid, it's a life recorder. This sleek, slightly heavy lead-lined headset records every single word you say and every word said to you, then plays it back into your ears on a 4-second delay. Never forget a grocery list again, because you'll be hearing yourself say eggs while you're standing in the dairy aisle. Side effects may include mild vertigo, temporal displacement, and the inability to hold a conversation without weeping. The Echo Memory 3000. Because the past is always louder than the present. Larry, buy now.
Thanks, Larry. I think you'd rather just forget the grocery list, honestly.
I don't know, Herman. A 4-second delay sounds like a great excuse for me to take even longer to answer questions.
You don't need any help in that department, brother. Anyway, back to the serious stuff. Daniel asked if there are fundamental architectural proposals beyond the transformer that could fix this stateless, context-heavy mess. And the answer is a resounding yes. We're seeing a massive shift in research towards something called state-space models, or SSMs.
State-space models. Okay, how do those differ from the transformers we've been using?
The big one people are talking about in 2025 is called Mamba. It was originally proposed a couple of years ago, but it's really hitting its stride now. The magic of Mamba and other SSMs is that they have linear complexity.
Linear complexity. So, if I double the text, it only doubles the work.
Exactly. No more quadratic explosion. This means, theoretically, you could have a context window that is effectively infinite without the cost or the compute time blowing up.
That sounds like a game changer. How does it actually do that? How does it remember without rereading everything?
It works more like a traditional recurrent neural network, or RNN, but with a modern twist. Instead of looking at every single word in relation to every other word, which is what the self-attention mechanism in a transformer does in SSM, maintains a hidden state. This state is like a compressed summary of everything it has seen so far.
So it's like the AI is taking notes as it reads.
That's a perfect analogy. As it reads word 1, it updates its notes. When it gets to word 100, it doesn't have to look back at word 1, it just looks at its notes. This makes it much more like a human conversation. When I'm talking to you, I don't reprocess every word you said since 9 a.m. I just have a state in my head of what we're talking about.
So why aren't we all using Mamba right now? Why is everyone still obsessed with transformers?
Well, transformers are incredibly good at recalling specific facts from a huge pile of data. They're like having a photographic memory of the whole page. SSMs are great at the flow and the summary, but they can sometimes struggle with very precise retrieval, like if you asked it for the third word on page 72 of a massive document.
The
The notes aren't as good as the original text. Exactly. But here's the cool part. In 2025, we're seeing hybrid models. Tier is a model architecture called Jamba, for instance, that mixes transformer layers with Mamba layers. It tries to give you the best of both worlds, the precision of a transformer and the efficiency and memory of a state space model.
That's fascinating. It's like having a guy who takes great notes, but also has a few pages of the original book memorized, just in case.
Precisely. And there's another approach called retentive networks, or RetNet. They claim to have the parallel training of transformers, but the efficient inference of RNNs. Basically, they want to be fast when you're training them, and fast when you're talking to them.
So, does this mean the stateless problem goes away? Will Daniel finally be able to talk to an AI without sending his whole life story back every time?
We're getting there. Some of these newer architectures allow for stateful APIs. Instead of you sending the history, the server just keeps that compressed note or state active for your session. Because the state is so much smaller than the full text history, it's actually feasible for the company to store it for you.
That would save so much money on tokens.
Oh, absolutely. It would slash API costs, and it would make the AI feel much more like a persistent companion. You wouldn't have to remind it of who you are or what your project is every time you open the chat. It would just know.
That sounds a bit like the personal AI dream people have been talking about for years.
It is. And we're also seeing progress in something called KV caching, which stands for key value caching. It's a way for current transformers to be a little less forgetful. It essentially saves the mathematical work. The AI did on the previous parts of the conversation, so it doesn't have to recalculate everything from scratch.
Wait, so if they can already do that, why is it still expensive?
Because even if you cache the work, you still have to load all that data into the high-speed memory of the GPU, the graphics chip every time you want to generate a new word. And GPUs have very limited high-speed memory. It's like having a tiny desk. You can be the fastest worker in the world, but if your desk is only big enough for 3 papers, you're going to spend all your time swapping papers in and out of your drawers.
I feel that. My desk is basically just a pillow, and it's always full.
Haha, exactly. The desk is the VRAM, the video, RAM in the chip. These new architectures like Mamba or hybrid models are designed to use a much smaller desk. They're more efficient with their workspace, which means they can handle much longer conversations without slowing down or costing a fortune.
So, looking forward to 2026, do you think we're going to see a post-transformer world?
I think hybrid is the keyword for next year. We're going to see models that use transformers for the heavy lifting and deep reasoning, but use these state space layers for the memory and the long-term context. It'll make AI feel less like a series of disconnected prompts and more like a continuous stream of thought.
That's actually a bit reassuring. It makes the AI feel a little more, well, human, or at least a little more like a donkey with a very organized filing cabinet.
Hey, I'll take it.
So, for the regular people listening, or for Daniel when he's working on his projects, what's the practical takeaway here? Is there anything we can do right now to deal with this stateless mess?
Well, until these hybrid models become the industry standard, the best thing you can do is context management. First, use system prompts effectively. Instead of putting all your instructions in every message, put them in the system prompts and APIs cache that's specifically to save you money.
Okay, system prompts. What else?
Second, be your own pruner. If a conversation gets too long and the AI starts acting weird or muddled, start a new session, but give it a concise summary of the important points from the last session. You're basically doing the work of that hidden state we talked about.
Like a previously on my weird prompts recap.
Exactly. And third, keep an eye on the smaller, specialized models. Sometimes a smaller model with a specialized architecture for long context, like some of the newer long context versions of Llama or Mistral will, actually perform better and cheaper for a long conversation than a massive, general model that's struggling under its own weight.
That's a great point. Bigger isn't always better, especially if the bigger model is paying a quadratic tax on every word.
Precisely. We're moving from the era of just add more layers to the era of make the layers smarter. It's a shift from brute force to elegant engineering.
I like that. It sounds much more sustainable. And hopefully it means Daniel won't have to spend his whole rent on API tokens just to get his AI housemate to remember where he left his keys.
Haha. Well, let's hope the AI is better at finding keys than we are, Korn. We still haven't found that spare set for the balcony.
Don't look at me. I'm still trying to remember what I had for breakfast.
It was a leaf, Korn. It's always a leaf.
Ah, right. Good state management, Herman.
Tried.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. It's amazing how much of the intelligence we see in AI is actually held back by these basic architectural plumbing issues.
It really is. It's like having a genius stuck behind a very slow dial-up connection. Once we fix the connection, the way the model handles state and context, we're going to see another massive jump in what these things can actually do in our daily lives.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for breaking that down, Herman. You made quadratic complexity sound almost simple.
My pleasure, brother. It's what I'm here for.
And thanks to Daniel for the prompt. If you're listening and you've got a weird question or a topic you want us to dig into, head over to myweirdprompts.com and use the contact form. We love hearing from you.
You can also find us on Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts. We've got a whole archive of us trying to make sense of this wild world.
This has been My Weird Prompts. We'll see you in the new year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.